We're living in a political era that has many people feeling despair, raising questions that are deeper than politics, like, is our society going backwards? If civil society is broken, are we better off just focusing on our own happiness? Or the big one, what's the point of life? Many turn to the arts for insights. From The Handmaid's Tale to Black Mirror, the arts can offer salvation and deeper thought. And celebrated novelist Alice Walker's weighing in on the Trump era in her art. She says history shows you cannot regret misfortune because it actually can lead us somewhere better. Walker joins me on the beat tonight. Viewers may recognize her name from over 35 books of fiction and poetry, or her Pulitzer Prize for the novel The Color Purple, which was adapted into a Steven Spielberg movie that features the film debuts of two black women, Whoopi Goldberg and Oprah Winfrey, in a tale confronting the ravages of slavery and sexual abuse.
All my life I had to fight.
17 seconds.
I had to fight my daddy, I had to fight my uncles, I had to fight my brothers.
Five,
a child ain't safe four, in a family man.
3 seconds.
But I ain't never thought I had to fight in my own house.
Walker is now confronting the Trump era head on. She writes, Americans distraught at Trumpism should channel anger into a wider awakening. And her new book of poetry grapples with race, police brutality, and the immigration crisis. Alice Walker, an honor to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. What are you saying with your poems, and do you think of them as a message about democracy and politics?
I think of them as a way to talk to people about tending to their own hurt and their own wounds instead of just screaming at the person who hurt you. Because there's a way in which if we don't heal ourselves, we can never heal the world. And that is the locus, the central point of this book.
That seems to be a distinction between how do you have catharsis or progress versus the search for justice or what can be getting even. Because we're also having a conversation here about what people get away with right now in America.
Yes, and also part of what happens if you try to get away with something that's terrible is that you cannot. And in this poem about the police, what I'm saying is that the white cops who kill our children, they can only expect to be healed by sitting with the mothers of the children they have killed. And this could be a beginning of their healing and the healing of our society.
You're talking about something deeper than what government or the justice system even does. You're talking about the breach in a killing or what may be a murder.
Yeah, I'm talking about the human heart and the human spirit, and that you cannot get away with murder. You cannot. You may think you have gotten away because they're not punishing you, but life will punish you. And so I'm saying to all of the police who've killed our children, go and sit with these mothers who are weeping. And then you may have an opportunity to begin to remove the arrow that is that unpunished part, you know, remove it from yourself.
That poem in the new book here, To the Police, we sometimes read things to guests, but we printed it. If you're willing to read a portion of it, I know we have it right there, if you'd read it to us.
Okay, and this is about the people who own the police. This is not directly to the police, because there are people who actually own them, and often they're not aware that they're owned by something more than themselves. Though usually devoid of feeling, they are experiencing a sensation they almost enjoy. They get to witness, by twisted enchantment, dozens of strong black mothers weeping. They planned and nurtured your hatred and fear, speaking of the police, and focused the kill shot.
Who do you hope reads that?
Well, I hope whoever's interested in freeing their own heart and spirit. You know, I'm not interested in writing actually political things exactly, but I want to change people the way they interact with each other and the way they see reality and the way they see our history.
The book includes a side-by-side translation of every poem in Spanish. The other poem we'd love you to read from is Depopulation Blues, which talks about the broader obligations we have to people around the world, even if they happen to be of a different nationality or country.
Oh, absolutely. But also, many people don't realize this, but we actually had a depopulation order that was concocted by Kissinger and Nixon. And so we're actually, people of color especially, in danger of being depopulated here in this country as well as in other countries. And I know it feels really shocking, but they can research this. Evil can be brilliant, though, speaking of depopulation of people. It will find a way. We are not fools completely to be seduced by it. Ford, Nixon, Carter, Reagan, perhaps all the others, knew we were counting on them to be as human as we are. But why 800,000 Rwandans died while we watched a televised presidential sex scandal might have told us something. That politicians who smiled at us and kissed our babies, blue eyes shining with triumph, well knew we were falling into our graves, kicked by them as they counted our votes.
Why do you think we tell so many stories about ourselves and about America that don't always match up with the ugly realities?
Because we can't face the reality. It's a terrible history. And until we face it, we can go nowhere. We can't expect to grow.
You have a Pulitzer Prize. Kendrick Lamar is a young musician, the first rapper to win a Pulitzer Prize ever this past year. And I want to play for you something from one of his songs in a video that echoes your work. Take a look.
All's my life I has to fight. All's my life I hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, I'm f***ed up, homie, you f***ed up. But if God got us, then we gon' be all right.
If God got us, we gon' be all right. Have you heard him quote you before?
No.
You've never seen that?
No.
And he's big. He's not Alice Walker big, but he's big.
Well, I'm happy for him.
What do you think about the way he's using your work, All's My Life I Had to Fight?
Well, I think he's understanding that that is the truth of it, especially for poor people and for people of color in this country. We've had to fight all of our lives. And it's a good thing that we can talk to each other across generations.
Prizes are a funny thing. I don't imagine you focus on them, but there are people who criticize the Nobel or the Pulitzer for handing them out to musicians. Do you think it should only go to traditional novelists and poets or musicians as well?
I'm not crazy about prizes,
yeah.
You know, so whoever wants them should have them, and people who can do without them should do without them.
Did it change your status? Because there's your work that stands on its own, and then there's the reach of your work. And so I wonder whether the prizes and the prestige that you've amassed did make a difference in the reach. I mean, we talk about The Color Purple. To think that there's two talented people who happen to be black women, Oprah and Whoopi, who'd never been cast in a film before they adapted your film. Does that part of it matter to you?
That did. That was very good, and I was very happy about that. But I'm just saying that the real joy comes from doing the work. It doesn't really come from the prize.
That's something I think that's inspiring about you, and it comes through very much sitting across the table from you. It is obvious to observe, but I will observe it, that that's something that you and the president do not have in common. he tends to brag a lot. But he does claim to be smart and educated. This is the only quoting of the president we're going to do, but I'll play you one clip of President Trump.
I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words.
What does it tell you that it's important to him to be perceived as so smart?
It tells me that he knows he probably is not, and he has an inferiority complex, and that's very sad. But it's even sadder that we elected him to lead. We definitely need a very different kind of leader. And in fact, we actually need to lead ourselves. And until we do, we probably won't get very far.
You say inferiority. I mean, does a feeling of inferiority or a lack of self-affirmation or love, does that, in your view, make people more dangerous when they come in contact with power or money?
Yes, because there's always envy. I mean, there's always the feeling of need to measure up, you know. And I mean, you can see that between him and Barack Obama. I think the envy there was just so blatant.
that Donald Trump envied Barack Obama, even though he started out with much more than Barack Obama.
Oh, of course, that's part of the problem, that he had everything, and Barack, as a black man, was supposed to have nothing, and said, look, what happened? You know, there stands Barack, and, you know, he's talking, and he's suave, and he's, you know, all of the things that this president isn't. And it's very hard to take. But the answer is not to make us all suffer, is to go and improve yourself.
Mm. Final question. When you look across the younger generations today, and so many young people will read your work, they might want to be like you. What do you think is the mistakes that you see in some of the younger generations coming up? And what is the thing that you might see that makes you more hopeful or that you think they've got figured out?
Well, I think I would like them to study more, and I would like them to be more connected to the rest of the planet. It is very dangerous to only know a little bit about your own community and nothing about the rest of the world. The world is vast, and something is always happening there. And in fact, we are, as a country, often damaging a lot of the world. And then we're sent to supposedly repair it. And then we have grief on top of grief because of our ignorance. So we should change that, and we can. We have to have more faith in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to do the positive one?
Do I want to do what?
Do you want to do the positive part of the answer?
Oh, what is the positive part?
Well, I was wondering, is there anything when you talk to young people or when you go out and lecture that you see that they've got right or that makes you hopeful as well?
Oh, their gentleness, you know, and their kindness and their thoughtfulness. I was just at a high school last night in New Rochelle, and I love the students. You know, they want to learn, they want to know, they want to grow, and they have so much passion, you know, for all the things that are really good and alive, and they're seeking, and they're really concerned, though, about the war, generally speaking, against children and young people in the world, as well they should be, and we all should be.
Yeah, it's interesting you note that gentility or that kindness because there is more awareness of that when you see when people, young people talk about being nice or taking care of each other or not bullying that I know it is different than when I was growing up and it was a lot more be tough and kind of roasting everybody. And that seems to be a difference somehow in the culture.
And I felt very respected as an older person. And this is very good for the culture. We must have more of this. Less drugging of older people and more respect.
I like that. Although, if you'll permit me to comment on your appearance, you don't look that old.
Oh, but I don't mind being however old I ever am. My ancestor lived to be 125. So I have, you know, almost half a life to live more.
Wow. Yeah, that's what my mom always says when people say she looks young, is she says, I'm not trying to look young.
We're living.
Alice Walker, for me, it's an honor to have you here, so I really appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bless you.